Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
A few scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is where we find the Apostle Paul writing about what you and I call communion. Or the Lord's Supper, and he writes this in his letter to the church in Corinth, but you know all scriptures for us to glean from. And so he writes to them about, well, through a section of orderly worship, and he comes to this. And most of you probably are familiar with the instructions of communion, but I want us to look for a moment at the words that he says just before this. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 11 we'll go with verse 17. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you. Now, he's writing this letter to them. And here in this letter, this lengthy letter, he drops in and says, in the following instructions, I do not commend you. Ooh, yeah, that should get our attention, right? Because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. Or when you get together, some translations will say you do more harm getting together than you do good. And he says that, for when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. He says, I believe this in part, for there must be some fractions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized or realized. When you come together, we want to walk in harmony with the Lord and with one another. And by the way, those are not separate issues. We know very much that the Lord cares about, throughout Scripture, Old Testament, New, that much of our worship and following Him has a lot to do with our attitude and treatment of other people. Okay? So turn to a couple people next to you and say, you're supposed to treat me good. Now I'll turn to those same people and say, but sometimes I make it very hard for you to do that. Yeah, right? Yeah, I make it pretty hard for you to do that to me sometimes. he's giving this instruction and correction before he, right on the threshold of giving instructions to communion, and we'll come back to that later. When we take the emblems of communion. I want you to listen to this. James chapter 4, 1 through 3. Many of these are familiar verses to so many of you, and these are not the first time in the last 19 years that I have referenced these. What causes quarrels? What causes fights among God's people, among families, or among this family, among you? Is it not that your passions, your thoughts, your desires, your way, they are at war within you? You tend not to have conflict or arguments with people who agree with you. The trouble is finding someone to always agree with you. I can be alone and have an argument. Because I don't always agree with me. I have some other thoughts, right? I do. I talk to myself. Some of you are going, I'm not surprised. Yeah. Listen. You have these discussions within yourself. Flesh, the spirit, at war, you're in the middle there trying to figure it out. Well, throw somebody else in the mix. Throw in some family members, throw in some other friends, throw in the body of Christ. We should agree on the foundational things of Scripture. And that's a process, too, that we have to come into agreement. Some of us, we haven't known it. Some we don't understand in the process of maturing in our faith. Some we come from a very different background or church background where maybe things were not taught in the way of the full counsel of God, but in part or with bias or the misuse of Scripture. And he writes to us, are these things not at war in you? You desire and you do not have, he uses the word murder. Now, it could have happened, but I don't necessarily think he's referencing that two church members disagree with each other and, they just go outside in the parking lot, have it out, and one kills the other. I don't know if the context is physical. We'll leave room for it. But we can certainly slaughter somebody's reputation, murder somebody's reputation. We can provide scandalous phrases, words, antics that bring a detriment and an injury to a person's life, their quality of life. He says, you do not have because you do not ask, and you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. So that whatever this discrepancy is, this argument is, this thing that we're trying to achieve, it actually is done selfishly to spend on our own passions or satisfaction that is outside of what the Spirit of the Lord would have. I want you to hear this morning, that this message is not coming to you this morning in the way of, boy, oh boy, I keep hearing from this group of people and this group of people and they don't agree and this person's having it out with this person. I want you to know, it's not like it's a shambles in here. But from time to time, you and I need to be reminded of the very important things of Scripture that sometimes we just sail through and we hit these little glitches and bumps and we just keep going on and we don't pay attention to them. And this morning, I want us to pay attention. I want us to think about our relationships with others as we head into communion, because that is what Paul is writing about. He's talking about your relationships with one another. It has spiritual consequences in our relationship with the Lord. And so I want us to look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Listen to this. I read this yesterday at one of our meetings, ministry meetings. He writes and he says, above all, say it, above all.
Above.
A little better.
Above.
Keep loving one another earnestly. Not superficially. Not just those who are easier to love. Love has to be earnest. And there is this earnest, this earning, this working, this activated love that comes from a changed attitude within, so that when it comes out in our words and in action, it is sincere. It's out of obedience to Christ. It's how much He's loved us, right? Loving people with obvious flaws can be challenging, But that is the same love that God has required and given of himself towards you and I. We are not always easy to love, but his love does not change. I'm sure there's moments he says, I don't really like you right now, but I love you. I'm not saying that's a scripture. I'm just saying, hey, sometimes we're a little more likable than another time, but his love does not change for you. His love does not change for you. This is an interactive sermon this morning. Tell a couple of people around and say, his love does not change for you. Based upon your performance. Say it, second part. His love transcends performance. That is great news for any of us who grew up in a performance home. You seemed to be loved when you did well, and when you didn't do well, it didn't seem like you mattered. Now, those are extreme. But you may have had a flavor of that in your home. That impacted you. I want you to know that they are still your biological family, but by the blood of Christ, you have a new spiritual biological family. And the father of this family loves you purely and earnestly, and it's not based on your performance. Does our faithfulness matter to him? Yes. He disciplines those he loves. But you and I, we are supposed to, above all, keep loving one another earnestly since, watch this, since love, it covers a multitude of sins. Let me tell you what this looks like. Okay. Darren here. Stand up, Darren, so people can see you. By the way, this is one of our deacons. Good to see you this morning.
Hi.
Looking fantastic. Yeah, I can't help it. Yeah, boy. Atta boy. So Darren here, obviously we attend the same church. He's also a deacon, by the way. He is the new vice chairman of the board. And, of course, this is his wife here, and she will keep him in line. So let's say Darren mistreats me. He really hurts me. In fact, it's to the point where it's not just a personal view. He actually sinned against me. I use you because that would never happen, brother.
I hope not.
He's such a faithful dude. He really is. And so now we're here, church. But above all, above his sin against me, above my personal feelings, above that, above all things, I'm supposed to love. That means how this sin is covered so it doesn't affect us going forward and it doesn't affect disruption in the body of Christ. I continue to treat him and love him like he never sinned against me. That love covers his sin. You did really good standing up. You can sit down now. That's how love covers a multitude of sins. Because there are going to be, in our relationship, we're going to commit sins against one another from time to time. We're still in the process. Here's the other part. Some of you will not commit sins against somebody else, but they're going to feel and interpret what you said or did as if you did sin against them. So for them, they have to put love above that all the time. Even though there was no sin to cover, in their mind it was. And so if we continue to love and treat that person like they never sinned against us, we are doing our part. Forget about their responsibility. It's about my responsibility in faith before the Lord. And my worship to the Lord. And to honor his blood that covers a multitude or all sin in my life, your life, We get to manifest the power of that by the way we love one another. We want His blood to be thorough in our life because His blood has the power to do it. Hear this. Jesus did not just die and shed His blood and say, well, I did it. Now, it's finished. He said that on the cross. But His work was not done. He still continues to love you. It's for the forgiveness. It covers the sin. But He continues to love you. He continues to love me in my imperfection still. And you and I are called to the same kind of love, to give one another above all, because it covers a multitude of sin. It is His blood in our life, and we activate through that, with the help of the Holy Spirit, the very nature of God, the heart of God, to bring peace to His family, of which I don't want to be the cause of disruption in that, that to the family, that we get to manifest that love that God has shown us, and we manifest it in another person's life, in the body of Christ, and before other people's eyes. Above all, continue to love one another. It covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Say that word, grumbling. Grumbling, grumbling. Yeah, you know what that sounds like, right? People walk away going, I don't know. What'd you just say? Nothing? I thought I heard something. Nope. What was that? You're hearing things. That's grumbling. Be hospitable. We went through something yesterday in the meeting. I didn't plan to throw this into the message, but it just brought up a remembrance from our meeting yesterday. Because we were meeting with different ministries that have to do with hospitality. And Pastor Brock and I were talking about this, and he was sharing some things, and I was sharing some things in our preparation for the meeting, because him and I led that meeting together. Hospitality, the kind of that root word of hospital, where we get the word hospice from. You know what a hospital's for, right? Sick, go there to be made well. Okay? Hospitality is showing that kind of kindness to people, that they are welcomed and we receive you regardless of your flaws. Hospice. It's kind of like I'm really sick and I'm kind of maybe in my last days. And I want you to know, when people come to church, there's a little measure where we're a hospital. We worship the great physician, right? He brings words of life to us that diminish death and hell and sickness and His Spirit and all of that. We know that we all have a last day prior to His return. This body's going to fade away, but our spirit is made alive in Christ. And so we are a little bit of a hospital in that soulish, spiritual context. And we are supposed to show hospitality, right? And then, you know, people come through the doors in their life. Physically, they may not be on hospice, but spiritually, emotionally, mentally, in life, it's like, I feel like I'm on hospice. It's kind of like, I don't know where I go from here. I don't know where I'm going to get help. I'm hurting. It's difficult. I feel confused. I feel a little lost. Some people, they come and say, you know what? I'm just going to come to this church. I don't know where to go from here. I'm just desperate to look for help. And there's a little bit of a hospice, right, to bring them back so that they don't die, that their life doesn't continue the same in digression, but Jesus comes and gives life, and they begin to breathe again, his breath in them, and the life, and it improves, and they get healthier, and they move along, and life changes, right? The ministry of Jesus. The ministry of Jesus among us and through you to other people. Above all, love each other. James 4, 1 through 3, part of it says in verse, I believe it's verse 11, don't speak evil against one another. Listen, speaking evil against somebody else, I just want you to know, it doesn't make you look good. There's a business that the church has been, we use their service, and somebody else came along and said, hey, we provide this service. We'd like to have a meeting with you. This is what we offer. I said, well, I'll check into that. We'll talk to the board. We'll see. And so I was tasked with following up with this, and so I informed the company that we use, I was going to withdraw our service from them and go to this other company and have them service the church. And so through that conversation of letting them know that we're probably going to stop service and this is probably the date that we're looking at, we'll confirm that with you, I get a call back, and of course they don't want to lose the business, but it was interesting, and I'm not bad-mouthing this company, I'm not telling you who it is, you don't have to guess, and another thing is look at the principal. They call back and said, so has so-and-so come through and trying to earn your business? And I said, I think that is the name of their company, and we don't have any grievance with you. It's just that they offer a little bit of a service that's different. The cost is less, and so we're just investigating this. We try to do what's right at the church. This is God's money, the church's money, and so we're careful. We don't always take the cheapest or the lowest bid when you don't always... You know, sometimes you get what you pay for, right? So, anyhow, they had phone conversation. They want to meet, but that phone conversation went this way. All they did was start to speak against this other company. And they do this and don't do this and they do this and they do this and other people. And maybe there's some truth in it. But they didn't say anything that they were going to offer us. They just belittled the other company. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to leave them, but it doesn't look good on them in my book. You present what you can present to us, but don't think the sales pitch is you're going to belittle somebody else and say, oh, yeah, well, I better stay with you. Don't speak evil against one another. It doesn't look good on you. Right? We need to identify evil and we need to be aware and we need to do what's right, but don't speak evil against one another. Yeah, but they're doing evil. Above all, love, because love covers a multitude of sins. And you and I judge the fruit of our life and other people's lives, and we are okay with judging the fruit. We're supposed to. But remember, you are not the final judge. You and I are not the final judge. That position is already taken. And remember, what you see before your eyes and what your ear might hear firsthand, not second, third hand, firsthand, you might think, But remember, you don't know the whole story. How do you like people to make quick judgments of little snapshots of your life? How do you like them to make judgments about that? Because they don't know the whole story. Remember those things when we are dealing with one another. 1 Peter, as I said, chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Last scripture before we go to communion. It's in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. And these verses all just kind of fit together with the consistency of the nature of Jesus. And it says, Jesus speaking, "A new commandment I give to you," to us, "that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another in this way." Now watch this. "By this, all people will know that you belong to me. You are my disciples if you have love for one another." Again, one of the most powerful and influential things that you and I can do to win those outside of the body of Christ is for them to view and watch and listen how you love a brother or sister in Christ. One of the greatest evangelistic powerful tools is when they get to watch you love somebody else. It is. One of the things that was brought up at the meeting yesterday, and when we do these newcomer luncheons from time to time, and people who come and who are newer to the church over recent times, they stand up and they don't have to. We don't, you know, we're not inquiring. We're not, you know, paying them on the side $3 to get them to say something nice. It just starts to come out of their heart and mouth. And those of you who have been at these luncheons or meetings, you have seen it and heard it. They said, you know, one of the things that impressed us when we came here is the warmth, the friendliness, and the interest that we feel we received from other people here. And they watched you greet and talk to one another. They're here to observe. It's not wrong. They are coming in here and they are checking you out. We live in a small town. There is a chance that they may recognize you from this place when you're in Walmart or somewhere else and seeing if you are loving people the same way there that you are here. Because here we feel this extra accountability, those other believers watching me. God is watching me as if he's blind when you go into Walmart or Tyson's or work or wherever. Paul, before he tells them how to take communion, he says, hey, I'm getting reports that there's quarreling, there's disputes, there's fights among you. Remember where that comes from, right? And he says there's going to be quarrels among you. But how we deal with them and how we handle that, you're going to watch God's favor rest on one party and not the other. He said it. God's favor will rest on those who deal with it right, have the right attitude. Yeah. Even if they're not the ones who yell the loudest. Because he who yells the loudest isn't always right. Right? He who yells the loudest isn't always right. Just because she yells louder than you, Brendan, doesn't make her right, but the chances are she's right anyhow. So listen, we're gonna take communion together. And in that chapter, he talks about on the night that Jesus was betrayed. Isn't this interesting? Paul writes about their relationships and quarrels, and then he says, on the night that Jesus was betrayed. I mean, Paul just kind of wrote about quarrels and betraying one another and all of this. And then it goes right into it. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, that didn't have to be included. He could have just started in with the last, you know, Lord's Supper. But he said, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus broke bread and gave thanks and shared with them the new covenant in God's grace and forgiveness in the blood of that he was about to shed. And he treated all of those fellas around the table, regardless of their response, he treated them the same. He was going to be betrayed, and he still treated the betrayer as if he was part of the group. Now, he had some words and some exchange, and there was warning, but he didn't look at him and say, you can't, you don't have the opportunity, you don't. He loved him the same. His performance was terrible. The son of perdition, the judgment that was going to fall on Judas. Peter's there. He's about to deny Jesus three times in the hour of his trial, but Jesus still treated him like he didn't sin against him. Still had a kindness towards Judas. Judas approached him with the guard and kissed Jesus, greeted him. And Jesus says, you betray me with a kiss. The kindness of the Lord. The power of forgiveness is greater. Mercy, the scripture says, triumphs over judgment. Let mercy triumph today in your life. Because before you eat the bread and drink the cup, you are supposed to examine your own life. I'm supposed to examine my life and say, Lord, this is where I've sinned. This is where I have a wrong attitude. This is where I've just kind of been sailing through, thinking I'm mostly okay, and I'm not paying attention to some of these little convictions, these little ripples, these little wrongs. Lord, I admit these things. I need your help. I have this attitude. It's a wrong attitude against somebody in the church. Now, it doesn't mean that you observe them and you know that maybe some of their conduct, their attitude is questionable. But you're going to love them as if it wasn't questionable. It doesn't mean ignore it. It doesn't mean that you got to go be their best friend, but there needs to be a harmony, a unity at best. And where there's conflict, God's Spirit will rest on one party. And it'll show the difference. And when it shows the difference, it should not be arrogant on our parts. It is where there's a difference, we hope that there is a turn and repentance and a restoration of that person or party into the true fellowship and unity of the believers.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.